This is Amherst Eclectic, and today I ran across an article that I thought was interesting. It's part of a TED Talk, I think, and it kind of is based on what I started this channel for. I think a lot of people maybe that started following me in the beginning thought it was just, this channel was just going to be sort of a raunchy kind of a channel. But I wanted it to be a sex positive, more hierarchy, sort of sex intelligent kind of channel, that educates people, that talks about things, that brings sex more out into the open and makes it more normalized, instead of everybody being so hush-hush about talking about sex. And I also wanted it to encourage people to talk to their children about sex. Early enough, you know, not too early, but early enough that, you know, they can't be sexually molested or taken advantage of. And that they also can understand what's happening to their bodies when they change, which is around, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, when that starts to happen. And some later, some earlier, depending on the kid. But I just wanted it to be a platform that we just opened up more and talked more about sex, which I'm hoping to bring more people in on the podcast and have collaborative talks, have interviews, things like that in the future. Just trying to build up an audience to make that more of a thing that, you know, others might want to join me on. But I might have to start doing that beforehand to bring in a more of an audience. But that's basically what I started this channel for, is I just think we just don't talk about our sexuality enough. And that leads to, you know, people not understanding themselves, not understanding their bodies, and maybe going into situations that may not be conducive to who they are as a person, you know, menage a trois or sex parties or things. You know, people try things thinking that those, that might be something that they'd be into. But I think if you talked more about it and you were more open about it and you talked more with your partner and you got far much more sex education, I think people would have a better attitude towards sex and have better sex lives. I think people's relationships would last longer, they'd have better sex lives, etc. People would know themselves better, because sexuality is a big part of who we are, which is why homosexuals want to be homosexuals. You know, it's a big part of who they are. You know, how we relate to each other physically and sexually and emotionally and intellectually, that all comes down to sexuality. Many, many times. So I think, yeah, it's something that we definitely need to talk more about. So here's the article. I found it kind of interesting. Exactly what I've been trying to say all along, but now we have some proof behind it with some professionals here. And the article is, if you want a more satisfying sex life, you need to talk about it with your friends. Now, before I go any further, with your friends you can trust. People you can trust. And I've talked about this in my other podcast as well. I have a lot of people that come to me, friends, acquaintances even, people that I know that want to divulge things to me about sexuality and their sexuality and how they can have a better sex life, because they know that I'm pretty open about talking about sex. Now, I'm not one of these people who's gross about it, but I'm comfortable with talking about sexuality. It's not something that I'm uncomfortable about, because I just think it's normal. I just think it's one added thing to everything about us. So make sure that you're talking to somebody that you can trust, because that's one thing I pride myself in, is that I don't divulge anything that people tell me. I keep that sort of stuff to myself. I've had people tell me that they don't have sex in their marriage, or that they're having problems in their marriage. I don't go around telling people about that. I don't divulge who it is. If I do talk about it, I don't say who it is. I just say it's just somebody that I knew or know that has, talked about this situation, but I never ever say who it is. And I think that's a good thing. People know that I'm not gonna, rat them out, or I mean, it's kind of a private thing. You don't want to be telling people's private stuff. And when they put that trust in you to talk to you about it, you don't want to be divulging that. So make sure you can talk to somebody you trust and you know it's not gonna go blabbing it around. If you can't talk to someone in your group that you can trust, then go to a sex therapist. It's worth paying for somebody to have that peace of mind. Okay. Having open discussions can empower you, enlighten you, and maybe even help you get back your mojo, according to sex and relationship coach Pamela Joy. Again, this was from a TED Talk. In many ways, Pamela Joy and her husband Paul had a wonderful life. They loved each other, and they had great kids and good jobs as an engineer in Silicon Valley. But as the years went by, she says, every 6 to 12 months, my husband would tap me on the shoulder and say, "We need to talk. We need to sit down." And he would look at me and with a sense of rejection on his face and say, "I want more sex." I'd look back with this sense of guilt and say, "I don't," and I don't know why. They'd make an effort and things would be better for a while until they weren't. Then he'd tap her on the shoulder and they'd have the same conversation. After a number of these resets, she realized their relationship was nearing a crisis point. They went to see a sex coach or a sex therapist, and that's when Joy realized the power to be found in talking about sex out loud with your partner, communicating about your sex life. Whoa, what an idea! Okay, in their fully closed sections with the coach, Joy was prompted to open up and discuss her earliest ideas about sex. Growing up, she'd gotten mostly negative messages, and this is something I've brought up too. You have to remember that you weren't brought up the same way as your partner was brought up. Sometimes they've gotten those religious or those societal messages that it's wrong, 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 nasty, nasty, sex is bad, that sort of thing, when really, sex is like great. And it's one of the best things in your life. And it's something that you should communicate with your partner about, and it can make your life better. And it's not an embarrassing thing to talk about. Everybody makes it so embarrassing. It's really just a really wonderful thing. And if more people shared about sex and their sex life more openly, I think a lot more people would be happy. That's just me. But okay. So the sex was always about the other person's pleasure, she says, not hers, which, wrong, 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 that is so wrong. Sex was fraught with danger and led to disease or pregnancy. Of course, that's parents trying to scare their kids not to have sex so they get past the age of 18 without getting pregnant. And if a girl or a woman likes sex, she must be a slut. No. Wrong, wrong, wrong. See? Those are all things that, is perpetuated in a misogynist society where men want to be able to control everything. I don't know. That's just me. She had an epiphany. How could I suppress the sexual side of myself for so long after receiving all these messages and then just expect to turn it back on again? Over several months, Joy focused on rediscovering her sensual side. She learned to connect with her body through focusing on little things throughout the day and to bring her physical pleasure. For instance, a hot shower, a soft sweater, the feeling of sunshine on my face. She says, I learned how to connect those feelings of pleasure to those feelings of pleasure. Through this process and their counseling session, she and Paul gradually found their mojo again as a couple. Now, having read that part, I thought, you know what? I have always been that kind of person. I've always enjoyed the pleasures of my life. Being outside and smelling the flowers when you take your dogs for a walk. Feeling the sunshine on your face and the wind blowing through your face. Like, I just said something the other day about when it was raining, I got woke up in the middle of the night by thunder. and I looked out the window and I could just see in the distance, it was probably miles away, but you know, who knows how many miles away, the lightning dancing across the clouds in the distance. And it was just so beautiful. And how something so destructive could be so beautiful. And then, you know, you're looking outside and you can feel the wind and you can feel the humidity from the rain coming and you can smell the rain. And I have always been one of those people who noticed all of those things. And the feelings you have when you meet a new person and the feelings you have, the butterflies and the sensations you get on your skin and the shivers you get when you're starting to fall in love with someone and when he touches your hand and the sensations from that, from when you're just meeting someone and getting to know them and all of that. I've always been very, very aware of all of those feelings. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm a little more artistic than other people. Maybe it's because I'm a gregarious, outgoing person. I don't know. But maybe that's why sex and sexuality have always been so easy for me. Now, my parents were very loving and touching, and we knew they were having sex all the time. So that could have been part of it as well. They didn't hide that. I mean, of course, they closed the door when they were having sex, but we knew they were having sex in that room when they were having sex, me and my siblings. So, yeah. Okay, so she noticed, she started to just try to enjoy life more, right? She's been so restricted by her parents and growing up. Okay, so Joy wondered, could other women benefit from talking about sex and sharing their stories? Nervous, she reached out to some friends to see if they were interested, and she received an enthusiastic response, which, honestly, that's what I've received when people know that I'm open about sex. And I think the reason that that came about is I did do some of those sex toy parties back in the day. And I think that that's what opened it up for me, is that I was very comfortable doing those parties and talking to people about sex toys. And I made them understand that this wasn't just some dirty thing. It was, these are relationship tools to make your sex life more fun. These are relationship tools to maybe even make your private, you know, sex life alone when you're trying to stay single and not have sex with somebody else and you're trying to wait until you find the right person. These help you to masturbate. They help you to continue to have sex alone, you know. They help you to be able to tap into your sexuality. And that helps you to learn what you like and you don't like when you're with somebody. So, yeah. So I think that that's why people felt more open with me. Okay, she arranged a group of women to meet on Sundays at a local park. The first gathering was a success, filled with laughter and tears. It felt so profound that we decided to get together monthly. So that's just how profound it was for them that they decided to keep coming together and talking about sex, because nobody talked to them about sex in their whole life, and they probably learned things that they never learned before talking to one another. It's a good thing. Okay, months later, when she looked at the women in the group, many were experiencing better sex and better relationships just from talking about sex, says Joy. She grew interested in the larger subject of women's sexual well-being and realized there were many other women or many other people facing similar challenges. It's estimated that 40% of women at any one point in time are struggling with some aspect of sexual function. You know, our bodies are constantly changing, but particularly women's bodies are constantly changing because of childbirth and all everything that goes with that, right? She decided to go back to school and is now a sex and relationship coach, which honestly, I'm starting to think I should go back to school for that because people are so comfortable talking to me about it. Joy continues to believe in the impact of having an honest, small group discussion about sex. She conducted one short, small-scale study in which roughly 100 women and 20 groups got together for weekly meetings. They received topics, prompts, and general parameters from Joy, and after a month, the results were promising. Overall, sexual function increased 20%, and distress about sexuality decreased 28%. She reports, what was especially exciting about these findings is that the discussions didn't require a therapist or a counselor. And That's what I always say on these talks, these podcasts that I give. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. I'm just someone who's talking openly about sex and sexuality because I think it needs to be talked about more. And I'm just sharing my own experiences because, as I've said, so many people are coming to me and asking me questions. And I thought, well, if all of these people in my life are this repressed about sex, and then I see what's going out in the on in the world and how sex education is getting pulled from schools, etc. We really need to start talking about this more and make it normal, more normal. Okay. So, all it takes is women being brave enough to sit down together and talk about sex as Joy. Interested in starting a group of your own? Joy shares some suggestions. Recruit a group. 4 to 8 participants is a good number. In Joy's original group, all of the women knew her, but they didn't all know each other. However, since she's worked with all kinds of groups, ranging from one made up of complete strangers to ones made up of old friends who held online meetings, and says they all worked, Joy has primarily worked with the groups of women, but as she points out, men need these conversations too. And I think women actually talk about sex to each other in a more intellectual way than men do. Men, it's all about it's I don't know. Sometimes I think they're just half lying to each other half the time when they're talking to each other about sex. They need to have more honest conversations with each other. Or they need to just join a group of women that they can feel comfortable to talk about sex with. But the more I think men learn about women's bodies and sex and sexuality, man, the better sex they're gonna have all together, you know? And that's just the truth. You know, the more open you are, the better your perspective, the better your sex is gonna be. Okay, they said set ground rules. Joy's group had four main guidelines, which the members repeated at the start in every meeting. No judgment, 100% confidentiality, which is what I was talking about before. Stick to sharing your honest experiences, not your best friends or your sisters, your experiences. And don't give advice. Don't give advice. Now, for me, people were coming to me for advice. They were asking me questions. But I always would say to them, you know, but you can't listen to everything I'm saying because everyone's experience is different. Your experience with your partner is going to be different than what I may have experienced with my partners in my life. So you have to be open to talking to your partner about this. Okay. Guideline number four represents a major way in which these groups are different from many conversations with friends. It's simply a fact of human nature that people like to give advice, but advice can sometimes make others, consciously or unconsciously, feel criticized, patronized, interrupted, or not heard. It isn't necessarily about solving the problem or trying to solve the problem. Sharing experience is often healing in and of itself, says Joy. In her study, she notes when women just share their experiences, not only do they feel normalized, but they also feel inspired and empowered to explore their own sexuality. So a lot of times, like if you go to a support group or if people are going to AA or NA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, that sort of thing, people are told to just share their stories. And there's no judgment. You're not telling people what to do, but people share what your experiences are, and then other people will hear your experiences and learn from them. So that's basically what I think she's trying to say here. Have a transition period before and after the discussion. Joy recommends 2 hours for a meeting. However, your discussion will most likely not fill up the entire time. At the beginning, people usually need a little while to show up, grab a drink or a snack, and settle in. After they're done, it can be effective to ask people for updates on their sex lives and talk about what they hope to get out of the meeting. At the end, allow for the conversation to gradually wind down and reach a natural conclusion. Tackle one topic at a time or per session. For her, Joy set for her study, Joy set the topics for the participants for 4 meetings. They were meeting number one, debunking myths, social messages about around sexuality. 2 was cultivating desire, embodiment, turn-ons, and masturbation. 3 was exploring fantasies, stories that evoke feelings. 4 was embracing passion, censorship in the bedroom. tackling these subjects in that order established where everyone's coming from in terms of their history, perceptions, preconceptions, and experiences. Choosing one topic per meeting gives your discussion with a focus on, and it keeps it from becoming too wide range and sprawling. Be honest, in Joy's first group, the members were very open about their lives. She said we'd get pretty detailed, like if we were a fly on the wall in the bedroom. But that candor was tempered with realism and empathy. Everyone has their feelings about how much they want to divulge or which topics they feel comfortable talking about, so we were very respectful and honoring of that. You should only share what you are comfortable sharing. Candor is one of the most important ingredients of a peer support group. Equally critical is the variety of perspective depending on the topics you're going to have. Some people with more positive experiences in a group, some have less positive experiences, and some people are neutral or no experiences. I think there's value in the differences and the similarities. That's why for me, having this group conversation is so much more powerful than one-on-one conversation with a friend. There's a richness in the fact that we all have different experiences. Place limits on the speaking in her group to prevent any participant from dominating. Joy used two basic tools, a talking stick and a timer. When a person had the talking stick, they could speak and no one could interrupt them. And a timer held each person to a 10-minute limit whenever they were speaking. Discuss messages you've received on a topic and try to identify them, where they came from. I do this exercise a lot with clients where they write down and note on note cards all the messages they got, like all the negative or positive messages of sex they got. Many will probably sound familiar. Masturbation is a sin. You'll figure it out. Figure sex out on your own. My partner should just know what we like or don't like. Well, how do you know until you experience it? You should do it with only someone you love. Sex is transactional. Sex in a long-term relationship is boring. The reality is we're told a lot of myths about sex. Maybe they come to us from our schools and our families, but more often than not, they come from culture, religion, and media, and they are largely negative messages. Think about where your ideas came from and what they were. This could lead you to understand what hinders or excites you. Know when to get extra help. Being in a group like this can be an expected benefit, but for instance, the most exciting thing that I found in my research was that the women with children reported being able to talk to their kids about sex for the first time. But it also might not solve all your problems. Sometimes getting peer support and feeling not alone is enough, but I absolutely encourage people to reach out and seek additional support if they need it. I like to think of it as having a great sex team. Talking to peers is one aspect. Another aspect could be a coach, a therapist, or even a medical doctor, online classes and books. So, yeah. So that, I thought, was an interesting article for me to trip over, because that is exactly what I'm trying to do when I make these podcasts, and I'm hoping more people listen to them, because I just want to talk generally about sex. I want people to be more open and more honest and more comfortable with talking about sex. And I can tell you, the friends of mine who have come to me, friends, acquaintances, whatever, even people when I had the sex toy business, even people that came into the private room and spoke to me, they would ask me questions while they were in there, and I'd answer them. I mean, there's no harm, no foul in, you know, helping someone with some questions that they might have. So, but what I noticed with my friends is they would come back to me and be like, oh my gosh, this was really great. I'm so glad I talked to you. Or sometimes they would ask me to go to pick out sex toys with them and have them sent to their house. Or they would ask me to go to the store before I started that business, you know, or after I, you know, stopped the business. And I'm actually thinking about starting it again. But, so, you know, what they divulged to me afterwards was how much better their sex was getting because they talked to me about it. And I said, well, now that you're feeling more open about it, now that you're feeling more comfortable about it, now that you're willing to have those talks, not just with me, but with your partner that you are having sex with, it's a whole new world when you start to open it up and communicate with your partner, for a lot of people. because they're just not used to doing that. Like she was saying in this article, many women just accept that they're not supposed to enjoy sex because that's what they've been told, is that it's not going to be good. I mean, even when I look up information trying to find things for podcasts, over and over I will see articles and doctors and therapists and people saying that 50% of women don't enjoy sex. That's bull. That's bull. Maybe 50% of them don't, but it doesn't mean that 50% should, right? There are reasons behind that, because of the social mores and ideas that are in our society that have been put on these women to feel like they can't enjoy sex. So over and over, women are getting this message, you're not supposed to enjoy sex, you're not supposed to enjoy sex. That's not true. That's not true at all. And the overwhelming message is sent to men is that women aren't supposed to enjoy sex. So then that takes the responsibility off of men to learn about women's bodies and what makes them happy, what gives them an orgasm, how their bodies work, how sex works for them. You know, I've talked about in other podcasts that, you know, the vagina is made to expand and contract. It's made to, as you get more sexually aroused, the vagina opens up more. It produces lubricant, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I doubt that many men realize that because they don't take the time, nor do they care to take the time to learn that, because women have been made to think that they're not supposed to enjoy sex. So guys just do what they want and they get out. But what a lot of men don't understand is if you make your wife or your partner happy in sex, if you take the time to really understand her body, how it works, and you give her an orgasm every single time you have sex, every single time that you have an orgasm, she has an orgasm, you wait for her to have an orgasm before you have one, you are going to be like, oh my gosh, this is a whole other experience. Sex, I didn't know sex could be this good. I have heard guys tell me that. I did not know sex could be this awesome. And it is so awesome. Because not only are you just, you know, jacking off inside somebody, you know, which is basically what it is if you're not really caring about the other person. You're just using them as a hand, in, you know, that's jacking you off. But when you really experience sex as the full span of what sex is, you know, where both partners are enjoying it, most partners are getting something out of it, and then you try different things and you try different ways of having sex, and there's just a whole other world that comes open to you, and intimacy becomes a totally different word to you, and it's not just sex anymore, it's intimacy. And or sometimes it might just be sex, because sometimes people just have sex, and that's okay. But it can be a whole other world of enjoyment and emotions and intimacy between you and your partner. It just opens up so many doors. So I really encourage people to communicate about sex. Go get a book and read it if you need to. Go watch some videos if you need to. Not porn. But I'm talking about, you know, just watching videos that discusses sex on a more intellectual, higher level than just basic wham, bam, thank you, man. We're talking about learning how each one of your bodies works, why your bodies were made this way, what Mother Nature had intended for your bodies to have worked this way, and why sex can be such a wondrous thing. So communicate with each other. Talk with each other. Talk to your friends. Let them talk to you. Don't be so uncomfortable about sex. It's natural. We all have sex. It's a big part of our lives. Everybody, most people have sex every day. Some don't, some have less, but you know. But if you talk about it and you enjoy it more, you might find that you're having sex every day. And it's a lot of fun. And it's really enjoyable. So let me know what you think. Let me know if if these podcasts are helping you to talk more about sex with your partner. That would be great. I would love to hear about that. If you want to ask me a question, or if you want me to talk about something in a future podcast, let me know. Or maybe you'd want to join me for a future podcast to talk. Until next time.